Morning. Today's daf in Menachos is Yud Zayin, and we are starting today on Tet Zayin Amud Beis. We are at the two dots, about a third of the way down. It's a couple of short lines before the lines start getting wide, starting with the words Yibailahu. Yesterday we finished off just going over one more time. A number of Azos that are done Yom Kippur, 43, 47, or 48. Depends on a couple of variables and a couple of machloksim, but that was really a side discussion from the Gemara yesterday. The Gemara yesterday continued its discussion of Pigel. We know that with the standard mincha, so there are two matirin. So two things need to go up onto the mizbech in order to eat the shirayim. One is the kometz and two is the lavona. And so that means now that we have a double matir, and as such, when I offer one of the two matirim, so that's what's called chatzi matir. So that's offering half a matir, and one would be subject to a machshavas pigel if one had a machshava during half of a matir. And this is a machlokas between the Tanaim, between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. In the Mishnah, we saw on Tezayin Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud, so Rav Meir's of the opinion that even though you're mefagel b'chatzi matir, that still is going to result in pigel. Masha Inkin, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, no, that you're mefagel b'chatzi matir, so that will not result in pigel. And so this is the machlokas that we have between the Tanaim, and this results in a and this is the basics of the Gemara. Yesterday we discussed machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. What if your machshava started on pickle number one and you require for pickle number two? Is there an assumption of that you just simply the machshava just simply continues and extends? Right, kol ha'osa al das rishonahu osa. That was the machlokas that we saw yesterday between Rav and Shmuel. Okay. And we are now continuing in the Gemara today. Ibailu pigel b'holacha ma? What about pigel regarding holacha? And to explain this question better, so we go back to a point that we made yesterday, a really important point, a critical point that we made yesterday, and that is as follows: even though by a mincha there's a double matir, but still we could look at each avoda individually. Well, let's take the avoda of haktara for example, the burning. So when it comes to the avoda of haktara, the burning, that's the culmination of the four avodas. That's the fourth avoda. And when it comes to burning, so what gets burned on the Mizbeach? So it is the Kometz and the Lavona. So therefore, Kometz is one of two. And Lavona is two of two. And by the way, order is not important, meaning you could do the Lavona before the Kemitza. That doesn't matter. But in other words, when you're talking about the actual Haktaras HaKometz, so that is half of the Avoda. Because the other half is the Haktaras HaLavona. Fine. But let's go to Avoda number one. Avoda number one is Kemitza. Okay? Kemitza. Do I do a Kemitza on the Lavona? No. There's no Kemitza done on the Lavona. In terms of the Lavona, what happens is you put the Lavona on top of a mincha, and then you just simply take it off. And there's no Kiddush Kli yesterday. I vacillated whether there is or there isn't. Let's say now definitively there isn't. I did more research on the topic. So there's no Kiddush Kli when it comes to the Lavona. So in other words, there's no Kemitza when it comes to Lavona. Kemitza is only for the Kometz. It's not for the Lavona. So when we talk about Kemitza, so of Kometz and Lavona, which is subject to Kemitza? Only one thing is subject to Kemitza. That's the Kometz. So in other words, when we're talking about the Kemitza, so you have a Machshava during the Kometz, that's it. There is no Kemitza as it relates to the Lavona. Consequently, so there's not going to be a Machlokas, whether or not it's Chatzi Mati or it's... In other words, it's one Avoda when it comes to the act of Kemitza, and that's vis-a-vis the Kometz, period. Good. So that means to say that if I have a Machshava during Kemitza, during the act of Kemitza, it's only on the Kometz. If I have a Machshava on the Haktara, it needs to be on Kometz and Lavona. So far, so good. That's what we pointed this out based on one Rashi yesterday. And then, yesterday, if you remember, we went back to a Rashi back on Yudal Amud Aleph. And Rashi and Yudal Amud Aleph made this point crystal clear. I want to read the Rashi again back on Yudal Amud Aleph. It's really critical. Rashi writes, Divra Maschol, Lafukim Idra Meir, V'ikasha, HaKometz Es HaMincha, my Posel B'machshavoso. I'm really making it up for not doing it when we did Daf Yudal. So now I'm doing it twice. Okay, so this is real makeup. So the V'ikasha, Rashi says, now I know it may be difficult for you. HaKometz Es HaMincha, my Posel B'machshavoso, HaVodas Chatzi Matiru. That if I'm just have a machshav on Kemitza, on the act of Kemitza, why should that be a machshav? It's only a Chatzi Matir. Da'ikinam Lavona, isn't there also Lavona? Teritz B'Kemitza, Vade avoda shlema hi. When you're doing kemitza, that is considered avoda shlema. The haleka kemitza b'lavona, because there is no kemitza as it relates to the lavona. Good. So that means to say that when it comes to the act of kemitza, the machshava that registers and significant is only the act of kemitza vis-a-vis kometz, because there's no other act of kemitza. Masha enke, when it comes to haktara, so there are two things that are burnt on the mizbeach, and that's kometz and that's lavona. So far, so good. That just That just gets us to the starting point of this Gemara. Now we can go to our Gemara, now we can ask the Gemara's question. Ibaibahu, the Gemara wants to know, pickle baholacha mahu. What if you have a pickle during halacha? So this is avoda number three. Now, avoda number two, how come the Gemara doesn't entertain it? Because avoda number two is kiddush kometz. It's the sanctification of the kmitza. Which again, kmitza is only done for the kometz. It's not done for the lavona. Sanctification of the kmitza is only done for the kometz. It's not done for the lavona. Good. So two basically goes with one. And so now we're up to avoda number three. Avoda number three is halacha. So is there halacha by lavona? In theory, yeah. Sure. Meaning, you take the lavona, you pick it up, and you walk it to the mizbeach. So there could be halacha as it relates to lavona. Doesn't have to be. And so here we're going to debate now whether or not with the avoda of halacha, of avoda number three of the four, so is there going to be the same idea where lavona is now part and parcel of the avoda, and therefore it's kometz and lavona, or no, not necessarily. Meaning it's just kometz by itself, not necessarily lavona. So pigo b'halacha ma'am Rav Yochanan halacha k'kmitza. So Rav Yochanan says halacha is to be treated like kmitza. And Reish Lakish amar halacha k'aktara. And Reish Lakish disagrees. He says no, halacha is going to be categorically put under the same category as haktara. Now the Gemara says, now of the two positions, which one is easier to defend? That's easy, says the Gemara. Reish Lakish is much easier to defend. Bishlam al Reish Lakish ikanami halacha de lavona. It's so easy to defend Reish Lakish. Because consider, am I going to do halacha on the lavona? Sure. Sure. You pick the lavona up and you walk towards the mizbeach. That's called halacha. So is now there an avoda of halacha as it relates to lavona? Sure. Do I now need to have lavona in mind if I want to have a machshavas pigel? Which again, let's just all remind each other for just a quick moment. We don't want to have a machshavas pigel. But do I need to have the lavona in mind? The answer seems to be sure. So now, Ela the Rabbi Yochanan, my time, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, why? In other words, when it comes to halacha, so lavona is not. You don't do halacha as it relates to lavona? Of course you do. Meaning, what is the defense of Rav Yochanan?
Do they carry it at the same time or separately? Maybe that's a difference.
No? Could be. I mean, it doesn't have to be at the same time. Could be separate.
Yeah, maybe that would be the difference.
Okay, so the Gemara is going to argue. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav HaKasav Rav Yochanan, kol avoda sheinu materis avoda chashuvahu. Lefagel alav bifne atzma. So Rav Yochanan gives us the following rule, that an avoda which is not serving as a matir is by definition an avoda chashuva, and therefore could create pigel afilu bifnei atzma even independently. Let's think this through. What does that mean? It's an avoda she'enu materis, it doesn't create a matir. So Rashi over here points out. Kol avoda she'enu, here we go. Kol avoda she'enu materis. Rashi is below where we are in the Gemara. Rashi kol avoda she'enu materis kigon holacha delo me'akve de'efshe lohoshit zelazeh. Meaning, do I have to do halacha? No, it's more pragmatic than it is necessary, than it is required. Meaning, it's just simply a pragmatic issue of, I need to get the lavona to the top of the mizbeach. So in other words, so it needs halacha. But it only needs halacha in the sense that if it's far away, I needed to get there. But Rashi over here gives an example, efshar lahoshiv zeh lazeh, I could pass off one person to another. Now, I understand that in previous dapim of Zvachim and Menachos, we had discussions and debates whether or not halacha that doesn't require footwork, doesn't require stepping and walking, whether that is or that isn't considered halacha. Just for the purpose of this Rashi, let's assume that that halacha does not require you to take steps. Sorry. That halacha does require you to take steps, and so therefore, by you passing it from one person to another, so this is not qualify as halacha. Again, for the purpose of this Rashi, let's just assume that, if that's in fact the case. So Rashi's point is as follows. So you see over here that halacha is not absolutely required. It's not demanded that we do halacha. It's just simply, I needed to get it from point A to point B. Therefore, now here comes the therefore. And it's really it's a little bit of a mind bender. But therefore, because it's not absolutely required, so therefore, it is now going to be significant even if I didn't do both of them. Even if I didn't have a machshava on the Lavona and on the Kemitza. Look at the next Rashi. Chashuv lefagalav bifnei atzma. Deleika lemeima ad sheyifaga b'chol ha-matir. You see, when it comes to holacha, this is not a mission-driven avoda. Meaning, what are we looking to obtain over here? Just simply proximity. But I don't have to do halacha to gain proximity. Again, I can pass it from one person to another. Or, if you will, I could do the kamitza right next to the mizbeach. So in other words, it is not mission driven. Because it's not mission driven, that means to say, Rashi, I'm going to read the Rashi, the leklamayim Rashi faga b'cholamate, the halav matirhu, the in koach la acheres la akev. Nothing's going to be holding it back. By definition, therefore, once I have a machshava during holacha, and even though it doesn't represent all the matirin, so what? I don't need, when it comes to the avod of holacha, we're not trying to reach a goal of matir. We're just simply doing an avoda. And since we're just doing an avoda, a machshava of either the komets or the lavona would be sufficient. This is the Gemara's explanation of the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Back to the Gemara. Amalei abayre harei shchita secha mekvasim davoda shena matirasa upligi. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's remind each other. What did we learn earlier regarding the shtei kvasim? You shecht one of the lambs. It's not a matir. Now, it's not a matir yet, because you only shechted one. And meanwhile, what have we learned together? Did not. We learned in the Mishnah. Shechted echem nekvasim leachol shtei chalos lemachar. Hikter echem min abezichem leachol shnei sedarim lemachar. So if I shecht one of the lambs, which is chatzi matir, or if I offer one of the spoonfuls of the lechem upon him, which is chatzi matir, so Rameiram Rapikov, Chayam Alav Karis, Vechachamim Omrim Ein Bo Karis Ashi, Yifaga Bechol HaMatir. And what do we have? We have a machlokis. Meaning standard machlokis between Rameiram and the Chachamim about being mafaga Bechatzi Matir. Why is this a question? Because over here, if I'm just shechting one animal, that by itself is not a matir. Amalei Misvaras Lechem Etanur Kadosh Chitos Kvasim Mekachalei. So the Gemara says, I wouldn't be so quick to conclude it's not a matir. It's really important. It's really significant. Because what do you think? You think the bread has kedusha in of itself? The shtei halechem of shuos. You think it just simply is generating kedusha in of itself? Something invested with kedusha. And what is that something? The shechting of the kvasim. It's the shechitas kvasim that invests the shtei halechem with kedusha. The habala kadesh kebala hatirdami. And since now the shechting of the animal is what is investing the kedusha into the shtei alechem, so therefore, you know what it is? It is now considered a significant act. It's therefore lahatir. You see, unlike halacha, halacha doesn't do anything. Now, of course, it accomplishes something in that now you were at point A, now you're at point B. But in other words, it's not a matir. It doesn't invest anything with kedusha. It just simply gets me from A to B. And that's why for Rav Yochanan, that in of itself is going to be enough in order for it to be qualified as an avoda, and you have a machshavas pigel, and you don't have to do the entire matir. But over here, if it's a matir, or we're just going to add, if it's a matir, or if it's investing something with kedusha, it therefore is a mission-driven avoda, and that's why I need the entire matir. In other words, not animal number one, but animal number one and animal number two. Mesa Rav Shimi Barashi Acher Momrim Hiktim Mulam La Areilim Kasher Hiktim Areilim Mulam Pasul. Okay, we are talking about shechting of the Karm Pesach. Karm Pesach has to be shechted over people who have a mila. A person who doesn't have a mila, you can't shecht Karm Pesach for him. If you shecht Karm Pesach for an arel, so the shechita is pasul. The Gemara in Pesachim discusses a very specific scenario. While doing the shechita, now when it comes to shechita, so there is a double matir for every shechita, in that you have to cut through two pipes. You have to go through the trachea and the esophagus. And they are shnei simanim of every animal, and that qualifies now as a double matir. Let's say while shechting matir number one, you had one group of people in mind, and while shechting, while doing shechita number two, you had another group of matirim in mind. So hikdim ulam la'arelim kasher, hikdim arelim ulam pasul, v'kaim landa b'chatzi matir pligi. Now there, the debate over there is whether or not there is whether or not you can have a machshava with a chatzi matir, meaning with one of the simanim. Now that is talking about shechita. Now the Gemara right now is assuming shechita is not mission driven, and the Gemara is going to debate that very point, or not debate, but just clarify that very point. Amalei misvar zdam b'tzavar behema kadosh. Do you think that the blood of an animal in the neck of the animal has kedusha in of itself? No, it's invested with kedusha. What is investing it with kedusha? The act of shechita. Dam sakin mikadosh alei. It's the knife that invested with kedusha. V'abala kadosh kebala hatir dami. And again, now it's the same basic idea. Since when you're shechting with a knife, it's a knife that's investing with Kedusha. By the way, remember not so long ago we had a debate in terms of whether or not the knife is considered Kli Sharvis or it's not considered Kli Sharvis, right? Rashi and Tosfos deliberate that issue. But anyway, but the knife is investing the dam with Kedusha, so therefore it's Bala Kadesh. Bala Kadesh has the same parameters as Bala Hatir. It's mission-driven, it's looking to accomplish something, and that's why I need both simonim. Tashma, the Gemara says, well, again, let's look at this again. Bamedvar mamorim b'kemitza, uvematin kli, uvehiluch. Look what we learned earlier regarding those avodas where if I have a machshava and kometz by itself, that's significant. That's on the act of kemitza. That's on matin kli, the kiddusha kometz. That's on holacha. Now, my love, hiluch da'aktara. So the Gemara says, now when we're talking about holacha, which holacha are we referring to? I mean, really, the only holacha I know about, and that is bringing over the kometz to the mizbeach, holacha towards haktara. And if this is in fact the correct way of understanding the Mishnah, so this is a nod in the direction of Rabbi Yochanan. What we just learned together, that holacha by the kometz by itself is enough to produce a machshavas pigel. Ah, but wait a second. In other words, it's only the kemitza. It's not the lavona. Good. So this is a proof for Rabbi Yochanan. So what the Gemara is going to do in terms of deflecting, hiluch the matan kli. Well, maybe halacha over there is a reference not to the halacha to bring the kemitza over to the mizbeach, but maybe halacha over here means bringing it from the kli number one into the kli number two, meaning kiddush hakometz. And the halacha is transporting the kemitza into the second kli. So the Gemara says, really? Ihachi b'man kli v'hiluch b'hiluch b'man kli mi'bailei. So first of all, if you're right, so then let's change the order so that the sequence is correct. So that we go from kemitza to now holacha to kiddush kometz. So the Gemara says, halokashi tiniach. So the Gemara says, okay, so if it's a question of editing the braisa, so okay, so we'll edit it. Okay, so that's, from this point going forward, that's how we're going to learn it. So the Gemara says, bala la haktara, bala la halacha mi'bailei. Okay, but then now what does that mean? It now means that, as far as what the Braisa was describing first kemitza, now holacha, I'm bringing over the kometz to the second kli, and then matan kli, or kiddush kometz. Good. What should be the next point of the Braisa? The next point of the Braisa should be holacha. Holacha in the standard, now we're going to walk over the kometz to the mizbeach. That should be the next part of the Braisa. So then, bala la halacha mi'bailei. So the Gemara says, "Halokasha kem da'alacha tzorach da'aktari karele haktara." Again, in deflection and defense, we could say that when the Braisa uses the word haktara, included in haktara is also halacha as well. Ella, the Gemara says, "Okay, but still, nasan es hakometz b'shtika holich mibayile." Yeah, but then when the Braisa talks about placing the kometz with silence, really, it should say holich, because now the way we're understanding the Braisa, the step of halacha is in between the kemitza and the kiddush kometz. So the Gemara says, Kasha, the Gemara says, ultimately you're right, meaning it's difficult. Meaning to entertain such a pshat in the Braisa is difficult. Now the Gemara ends off with Kasha, not Tiyufta. It's difficult, it's not impossible, but it's certainly difficult. It's certainly a struggle to try to put that into the Braisa. So again, the Gemara has finished the discussion. The Gemara has not sided. But again, a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. When we're talking about the holacha, when you have now placed the kemitza into a kli sharis, the kiddush kometz, so now as you're transporting it over to the mizbeach, this is the avod of halacha, avod number three. So if you have in mind that you're going to be mefago, that you're gonna burn the chutzas mano, so is this by itself considered enough in order to create pigol? So machlok is between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that it's no. In other words, it has to be. It's going to be treated like haktara. As we know, by haktara, you have to have both the kometz and the lavona in mind. Same thing with the holacha. You have to have both the kometz and the lavona in mind. And again, Reish Lakish's position in this particular scenario is easier to defend, because when it comes to holacha, I need transportation of both the kometz and the lavona over to the mizbeach. So it's an easier position to defend. Rav Yochanan, on the other hand, says no, that holacha is going to have the status of kemitza. It's a harder position to defend. Rav, a defensive position. Okay, and that's it. And the Gemara quoted Bryce's back and forth in terms of defending or supporting each position.
How can it be considered halacha when you're doing the same place.
Generally, they're in the same place. But if they're not in the same place, if I have need to walk over somewhere where there's a second kli, so then I have to walk. Yeah, but you're right. In other words, typically the second kli would be there, ready to receive. Right. Hikter, we're in the Gemara, we're two-thirds of the way down on Tazayin Amud Beis. Hikter, Shimshon, Le'echol, Shumshum, Ajikala, Kometz Kula. Okay, and an unusual format of doing the kemitza. So the kemitza is a fistful of flour. And generally speaking, what you do is you take your fistful and you throw it onto the mizbech in total. And over here, what you're doing is you're taking a granule, a sesame side of the kemitza, and you burn on the mizbech. And le'echol shumshum, with every granule that you put on, so then you say to yourself, and I'm going to be eating a corresponding granule of the shirayim tomorrow. So over here, you are trying to have a machshav of pigul, but incrementally. In other words, as you're burning it one kernel at a time, and you have the machshava on one granule at a time. But you keep doing it again and again to the point where there's siruf, and you get now the full, you're burning the full kemitza, and you have a machshava of full kezayis. And is there a machshava of pigol incrementally? So, achikala kometz kula rev chis rev hamnun rev shesha. So, interestingly, the Gemara here does not give one opinion, either two opinions. The Gemara here gives three opinions on the matter. That's two more than I expected. certainly, I could have produced two opinions, but the Gemara is more creative than I am, and the Gemara comes up with three opinions on the matter. Chanamar pigol, v'chanamar pasul, v'chanamar kasher. And your three options are either it's pigol mamish, or it's disqualified but not pigol, or it's kasher legamri. So we need an explanation for all three opinions. So lema mandamar pigol k'Reb Meir. So the one who says pigol subscribes to Reb Meir's viewpoint. Why? Because it's chatzi matir, and since it's chatzi matir, so therefore it's pigol for chatzi matir. Reb Meir acknowledges he's the one who recognizes that there is pigol for chatzi matir, and so therefore this is an example of that. Mandamar pasul k'Rabban, and the one who says it's pasul like the Chachamim, meaning in that same Mishnah on the Amud Aleph of yesterday's daf. So we learned that according to the Chachamim, it's not pigol. It's not pigol, meaning it's not pigol kares, but it's certainly disqualified. And finally, the one who says that's kasher, that's going like Rebbe. You remember Rebbe? We did a couple days ago. Let's say while shechting one of the shnei hakvasim, I have in mind that I'm going to be eating a chatzi zayis of one of the lachmei of the shtei alechem. And then while shechting the other keves, I think I'm going to eat a half a kezayis of the second of the shtei alechem. Rebbe, in that case, said, it's kasher legamri, there's no tziruf. And so over here, that would be Rebbe over here as well. Mimai. The Gemara says, we could argue all three of these points. First of all, Rav Meir is of the opinion that you can be mefag bechatzi matir. But consider, in every case of Rav Meir, so you're doing one of the two matirin, but while doing one of the matirim, you have the entire shear of kezayis in mind, mm-hmm. in terms of consumption. Then Rav Meir says that you're going to be chayev. That's going to be an example of pigol. Over here, I'm taking a kernel of the kometz, and I have in mind a kernel of the shirayim that's going to be consumed chutzas mano. It's not the same. And ve'ad kan lo kamer rabban hasam elo delo chisha bei bekulei matir, aval hacha dechashav lei bekulei matir hachinami depagil. And as far as the sheet of the Chachamim, of course they argue with Reb Meir. But eventually over here in this particular case, I am doing it granule by granule, but eventually I'm getting to the full kemitza. So this is incremental, and eventually some total will get me to a full kemitza, and as far as the consumption will get me to a full kezayis, probably even more. But still, over here, I can make the argument that according to the Chachamim, this registers as pigol legamri. Ve'ad kan lo kamer Rebbe Hasam elo delo hadar mal yamei osa avoda. Ava hacha da hadar mal yamei osa avoda hachinami depasol. And as far as the sheet of Rebbe is concerned, so that's when I shechted one of the kvasim, and I have a chatzi kezayis in mind when I shechted one of the kvasim, and that's it. Meaning, and I don't have anything more in mind. Over here, on the other hand, eventually I'm going to have the full shear in mind. So again, it's not the same. Ella. Mandamar pigol, so the Gemara says, okay, so what we tried to do is we tried to fit in the three opinions into the opinions of the time as we know them. Reb Meir, the Chachamim, and Reb Yehuda Nasi, the Gemara says, we're going to try now a different approach. Ela mandamar pigol, divrei hakol, the one who says that it's subject to pigol, it could work within any one of the three shitas, meaning either the Chachamim or Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And again, for the reasons that we just articulated. Because in this case, we are, even though with each granule that I'm taking, that's obviously less than a shear, but I am incrementally adding one to another, to another, to another, to the point where I get a full shear. So you can make that argument. And man damar pasul divrei akol, man damar kashul divrei akol. And we can argue also the position of pasul according to everybody, and we can argue the position of kashul according to everyone. And let's go. Man damar pigol divrei akol kasar v'derech achila bekach v'derech haktar bekach. So the one who says that it is subject to pigol, meaning we could make the argument, I mean we, meaning one of the amorim, make the argument that even though it's incremental, but we can call it derech haktar and we can call it derech achila. Right? Do I burn one granule at a time? So you can make an argument, yes. Now, if your argument is yes, so then that's considered haktara. And if, as far as consumption is concerned, do I eat one granule at a time? And again, if you're arguing yes, so now we have derech haktara, we have derech achila, and therefore, it's pigol. Pigol lagamri. Man damar pasul divrei hakol, I'm sorry, divrei hakol kasavar. And skip the parentheses. Derech achila bekach. Meaning, do people eat like this? Well, not the people I associate with, but in other words, the answer is yes. In other words, you can say that this is considered derech achila. However, ain't derech haktar bekach, but to burn incrementally one granule at a time, that's not normal. And therefore, it's like a mincha where you did not do the haktara properly, and therefore it's pasul, it's disqualified. It's certainly not pigol. In other words, in order to arrive at the point of pigol, you need to do the matir correctly. Over here, you didn't do it correctly. And as far as the one who says that's kasher lagamre, so that position is that it's the haktara, you get a check for haktara, meaning it is normal, quote unquote, normal. It's acceptable to burn it incrementally one granule at a time. But in terms of the achila, this is not the derech achila, ain't derech achila bekach. And so therefore, you did the matir. You didn't have a consumption in mind when doing the matir, even though you said, how are you going to eat a chutz zmano? But again, that machshava, because you're considering about eating it one granule at a time, that's not normal, and therefore the machshava of achila chutz zmano doesn't register, and that's why it's kasher lagamri. Right, in order, right, that's an excellent question. Let me just repeat the question. Danny asked, how could it be that the Gemara is entertaining, because the Gemara is, at least in one direction, the Gemara is entertaining that this is considered derech achila, so we know that, generally speaking, achila, have to eat a big day achilas pras, right? That's generally speaking the definition of eating, of consumption. So over here, the Gemara is clearly entertaining the idea that if I eat one granule at a time, that's achila. I'd have to imagine, like Danny's suggesting, that that's not bichdei achilas pras, and how can that be considered achila? It's a really good question. I don't have an answer. Amre charifa de pupadisa. There are a couple of Amorim that live in Bavel, and they're given the nickname of the sharp ones of Pumpadisa. Pumpadisa, I was told, is like modern day Fallujah. Okay, could be correct. I don't know enough, but anyway, that's their nickname. Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Eifa Avime, they're the sons of Rechava. They live in Pumpadisa, and they happen to be extraordinarily sharp. And here we go. Now we're gonna experience some sharpness. So the Gemara on the top of Yezayin, Haktar Mefagelas Haktara Vafila Rabbanan. So if I'm burning part of a mincha with in mind another part of the mincha that's going to get burnt on the mizbeach, this results in pigol, and even according to the Chachamim. So you talk about a sharp statement. That's sharp. We have to wrap our heads around that statement. First of all, the first thing we have to do is just understand what he's talking about, and then process exactly what the chiddush is. Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi, second Rashi on the Amud. On Yuzayin Amud Aleph, Rashi writes, Haktara Mefagelas Haktara. So Rashi says, first of all, what's the case? Hiktar Komitz, Amanas Lahaktir Lavona, Lamachar. So, pigol. I edited Rashi just a little bit based on the side. But anyway, so here the case is as follows. So the Kohen now is taking the Kemitza, burning it on the top of the Mizbeach with the following articulation, the following thought, and he articulated the thought. You know what I'm going to do? The Lavona, I plan on burning it tomorrow. And, says the Gemara, so that is now going to result in pigol, and even according to the Chachamim. Now, Rashi knows what you're thinking next, based on what we learned previously. How in the world could that be pigol? Ein matir mefagel matir. We know the rule is that in order to have a machshava pegel, it has to be going on not something which is a catalyst, but something which is a consumed product. The lavona is a matir. So what's going on over here? Rashi addresses that question. Now Rashi says, I know it bothers you because generally we say that a matir is not mefagel another matir. Now, the example which we're going to see later in the Gemara is where I shecht one of the kivsei atzeres with the other kevis in mine, that I'm going to eat the other kevis l'chutzos mano. That's a classic example of matir being mefagel matir, which does not result in pigel. So Rashi says that's good, but that doesn't impact our discussion. Why? Because the lavona is placed in the same kli as the mincha. It's therefore bechad mana. It's hukva bechad mana. Consequently, it's all considered one entity. And therefore, when you are burning the kmitza and you say that you're going to eat the lavona, wrong verb, you're going to burn the lavona tomorrow on the mizbeach, that, in fact, qualifies as a machshavas pigel. Okay, so now we could say it. That's really sharp. Meaning, because now you have to understand that there really are, it's a double-layer chiddush. One is that this goes against the grain of the rule of ein matir mefagel matir. Over here, that's not the case. And two, even though it's not going on the shirayim, it's going on the lavona, which is burned on the top of the mizbech. This still qualifies as pigel, even according to the chacham. So hatar mefagel haktar. We're back to the gemara, second line. Ve'afilu rabbanan darmei mefagel mechatzim matir. And even though the chachamim say, wait one second, isn't this also a violation of chatzim matir? So the Gemara says, "Hani milehech dechisha bebe shirayim ulavona bemilse kaime." That's only when while burning the kmitza, you're thinking about the shirayim and having nothing and leaving the lavona out of the equation. Avahach dechashuv lebe lavona kama dechashuv lebe bekula matir dame. But over here, you didn't leave the lavona out of the discussion. You included the lavona. But normally, inclusion of the lavona is talking about having a machshava while also burning the lavona. Meaning, classically, what we would have said was, how do you successfully violate pigel by haktara? That when you're burning the kometz and when you're burning the lavona, you think about how you're going to be eating the shirayim tomorrow. Over here, the twist over here, the sharpness over here is that I am now having, while burning the kometz, having a machshava of when I'm burning the lavona. And I'm burning the lavona tomorrow. So over here, I'm not even thinking about the shirayim, but I'm not leaving the lavona out of the machshava. It's included in the machshava, albeit the twist over here is not as part of the matir, but in terms of when I plan on burning it. It is now going to be not on the matir side, but on the consumption side. But still, it is considered pigel. Amarav afanami tanina. So Rav says, I think I could support this position. Because we learned in a Mishnah, Zakal kol hakometz venosim bekliva amolch va'amakir lechol davar shadarko lechol v'lahakter davar shadarko lahakter chutzim koma pasul ve'imbo karitz chutzim zmano pigel ve'chayavin alav karitz. So the Mishnah, which gives us a classic refrain of the two types of pigel, chutzim koma chutzim zmano, and did you notice the examples that are given in the Mishnah? Things that are consumed, things that are burnt. Now, my love, haktar dum yedahanach. Now, when we're talking about the avodas, so we're talking about four avodas. We're talking about kmitza, nesinas bekli, holacha, and haktara. Presumably, when we talked about haktara, we meant in the same manner of kmitza. Man lahanach ben lecho ben lahaktir, af haktara nami ben lecho ben lahaktir. So when we're doing kmitza, so it registers as a machshavas pigel, whether we're talking about consuming or whether we're talking about burning. Same thing true with haktara. That one could violate pigel with a mincha when burning the kometz, whether I'm thinking about eating the shirayim or burning. Well, burning what? It can't be talking about the kometz because that's what I'm currently doing right now. So how can I have a machshava of burning the kometz tomorrow when I'm burning the kometz right now? So you know what the burning has to be going on? There's only one other thing that's going to be burnt on the mizbeach. The lavona. So in other words, if we're right, that means to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case where I'm actually burning the lavona. Again, the machshava is burning the lavona tomorrow. And this is a good proof for the charifei pumbedisa. The Gemara says not necessarily. Lo hanach ben lechol ben lahakter haktar lechol in lahakter lo. And the Gemara is a simple deflection. The Gemara says no. You don't have to treat every avoda the same way. Now, not every avoda is the same. When we're talking about kamitza, the kamitza could be, the machshava could be going on parts that are going to be consumed, shirayim, parts that are going to be burnt, the komets. But in other words, when we're talking about the haktara, maybe the machshava, the only legitimate machshava that one would have, is going on the parts that are eaten, not the parts that are burnt. Okay. Yosef Rav Menashe Bar Gada Kamei Dabai Veosef Kamar Mishmeid Rav Chista Ein Haktara Mefagalas Haktara. And then the Gemara brings in the opinion of Rav Chista, and Rav Chista says, this position of the Harifei Pumbedisa, it's too sharp for me. It's too sharp. I don't agree. In other words, when burning the komets and having in mind that we're going to burn the Lavona tomorrow, this does not constitute pigel. The Afilu Rav Meir, and we're going to go the other way. And we're going to say, and not even according to Rav Meir, because V'afilu Rav Meir, Damar Mefagel Mechatzim Matir Hani Milehecha Dechishabu B'shirayim. The comets matir did who? Yeah, Rav Meir says that your that pigle could be that pigle can be created through chatzim matir. That's true according to Rav Meir. But in other words, while doing the chatzim matir, the machshava is going on that which it's being matir. The comets is not being matir the lavona. The comets and the lavona are shtei matirin, and as we learned earlier in the Masechta, independent one of the other. I don't have to wait to burn the Lavona only after I burn the Kemitza. I could burn the Lavona first, I could burn the Komets first. So even according to Rav Meir, this won't qualify as pig at all. Avahacha, the Komets lav matir de Lavona hu, lo matzi mafago be. But over here, the Komets is not a matir for the Lavona. So therefore, even according to Rav Meir, this is not going to result in pigle. Amarle Abaye, ani mari. Mishmei derav. Now Abaye has a follow-up question. His follow-up question is very simple. Rav Chista, your position that you just articulated, that when burning the kamitza, you have in mind to burn the Lavona tomorrow, and you're saying that that's not pigel, and you're saying that's not pigel even according to Rav Meir. Are you saying that, or did you say that in the name of Rav? So, Ani Mari, Mishmei de Rav, did you say this in the name of Rav? Amarle in. To which Rav Chista said, yes, that's correct. In other words, I did not come up with this position myself, meaning I said it in the name of Rav. Now, why didn't he originally present it b'shem Rav, right? Kol ha'omer b'shem Omro, maybe it's a ge'ula. It's a fair question, which I right now don't have an answer to. But anyway, Amar le'in. Itmar nami Amar Rav Chista Amar Rav ein haktara mefagalas haktara. And the Gemara now quotes Rav Chista on another occasion who does quote in the name of Rav, exactly what we just said. Amar Rav Yaakov bar Idi Mishmei de Abaye afa nami tanina. And I'm going to bring proof to this as well, because shachar echad mekvasim lechol mimenu lamachar hu pigel vechaveru kasher lechol mechaveru lamachar shneim ksherim. We go back to a mishnah regarding the kifsei atzeres. This mishnah we've gone over numerous times. If I have in mind while shechting kevis number one to eat kevis number one chutzes mano, we have created pigel. If I have in mind while shechting kevis number one to eat kevis number two chutzes mano, that's not pigel. Why not? My time, la mishum de kevin de lav matir di dehu la matzim afago be. Because kevis number two is not nitar through kevis number one. Kevis number one is only a matir for the shtei halechem. Kevis number one is not a matir for kevis number two. What's kevis number two? Itself a matir. An ein matir mefago matir. Just like the komets and the lavona. The Gemara says, okay, it's not a bad proof, but it's not absolute. Lo. Hasamu dulo ikva bechad mana, aval hachad ikva bechad mana, kichad damo, kichad damo. So the Gemara says, the difference between them, now I know we already made this point earlier, but we made it through Rashi. Now the Gemara is spelling it out. The difference between them is that kevis number one and kevis number two are two independent materium, and they're never put into the same kli. Unlike komets and lavona, which have gone into the same kli together, and therefore, they are much more unified and united. And therefore, you can make the argument, which Harifei Pumbedisa do, that if I have in mind while burning the kamitza that I'm going to burn the lavona tomorrow, that's considered pigel. Amra vanuna hamilsa. Okay, period. Period. Adkan. That takes us to the end of a really sharp discussion of the Gemara as to whether or not, while burning the kamitza, you have in mind to burn the lavona tomorrow, is that going to be considered pigel? Harifei de Pumbedisa are of the opinion yes, and Rav Chista in the name of Rav says no. Amar Rav Hamnuna Hamilsa Ivlali Rabbi Chanina. So Rav Hamnuna says that the following was told over to me by Rabbi Chanina, Utekila li kekule tamude. As far as I'm concerned, it's worth its weight corresponding to all of Shas, to the rest of that which I learned in Talmud. I pointed out numerous times. It's clear. It's so clear that the Amoraim loved the topic of Pigal. Here's just this one line of Gemara. It's such a reflection. Now, why they love this particular topic so much, I'm at a loss. I certainly am not able to articulate why Pigal becomes such a beloved topic of the Amoraim. But first of all, just look at how much real estate is dedicated to the topic. And number two, you see that over here, he says how much he loves this one statement as it relates to Pigal. Hikter comments lahakter levona lechol shirayim lamachar Pigal. So here we go now with a statement that is beloved by Rav Hamnuna. Let's say you are burning the comets, and with the following thought in mind, that I'm going to burn the Lavona so that we're going to eat the Shiraim tomorrow. So remember now, we're talking about Haktara, which means that we need both comets and Lavona. Okay, as we established in the beginning of Shir today. We've gone over that point numerous times. That when you're at the fourth avoda of Haktara, you need comets and Lavona. If I only have one of the two, that's Chatzi Matir, and yes, Rav Meir says that that's considered Pigal, but we don't subscribe to Rav Meir. So I need both. So here now follow. While burning the Kemitza, your machshava is as follows. Your machshava is, I'm going to burn the Lavona, because I need to, because that's part of the avoda of Haktara, and I'm also going to eat the Shiraim Lamachar. So in other words, included in the machshava is a consideration of burning the second matir and a consumption of the Shiraim Lamachar. And Rav Hamnuna teaches that that is Pigal. Now, my Kamash Malan, so the Gemara says, now the Gemara takes a moment to wrap its head around this idea. Now, my Kamash Malan, Iaktar Mefagalas Aktara Kamash Malan, Lema Hikter Komas Laakter Lavona. So is it going back to the discussion that we had previously in the Gemara? So just simply say, right, Hikter Komas Laakter Lavona, like we said earlier. In other words, that's not the point that he's making. And if he's subscribing to Rav Meir's position, so simply say that I'm being makter lavona so that I can eat the shiraim tomorrow. But that's not what he's saying as well. And if he's trying to make both points, so then what he should say is that he's being makter, he's burning the comets either to burn the lavona tomorrow or to eat the shiraim tomorrow. But that's not what he's saying as well. Like I said, the Gemara takes a moment to wrap its head around the statement. He does not subscribe to the Harifei Pumpadisa, but rather he subscribes to Rav Chista Amarav, a burning of one is not going to create Pigal when he's thinking about the other part that's burnt. Okay. And number two, he also does not subscribe to Rav Meir. Over here, what he's saying is the way I originally presented it. That while he's burning the comets, he has in mind that he's going to be burning the Lavona. And he also has in mind that he's going to be eating the Shiraim tomorrow. So that machshava incorporates all of the mincha. Now, the chiddush obviously is he hasn't burned the Lavona yet. But that's why it's called the chiddush. Meaning, but in the machshava, he has included all parts of the mincha, therefore it's subject to pigal. Tanitana kamad Rav Yitzchak bar Ava hikter komets lechol shiraim ledivra akol pigal. The Gemara says that when you're burning the comets and you are planning on eating the shiraim tomorrow, according to everybody, it's pigal. According to everybody, it's pigal. What on earth are you talking about? Va'amiflag pligi. That goes back to the machlokas that we saw. So the Gemara says, ela'ema ledivra akol pasal. Oh, so we're gonna have to edit the brisa because it's not pigal according to everybody. So the editing of the brisa is instead of the word pigal, we're gonna use the word pasal. Now velema harizeh pigal, so v'rameirhi. So the Gemara says, look, if we're open to editing, so right, editors love these Gemaras, by the way, because in other words, if there's a mistake, so where did the mistake occur? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, tana divrei hakol asnuye pigal b'pasal mechlaflei harizeh b'divrei hakol lo mechlaflei. So the Gemara says, look. If the mistake was that originally the original Brisa said the word pasul and somewhere along the way it got slightly corrupted, pasul turned into pigal, I get it. Both start with a pay, both are one word, both mean it's bad. So I understand how pasul can have turned into pigal, and so therefore that's a mistake that I totally understand. However, If the Braisa says the words divrei hakol, and you think that what the Braisa originally presented itself was harezeh, that's hard. That's really difficult to imagine. That we went from harezeh to divrei hakol. So that is something where most probably that wasn't the error in the Braisa. The error in the Braisa probably was originally presented as pasul, then somebody misheard it, went to pigel, and now, as we think about it, it can't be pigel, because not everybody agrees. It's chatzi matir. It's machlokes d'Rameh and the Chachamim, so therefore we go back to pasul. Hazon ha'chakomet v'samincha, and that is the end of the second parak. We start the third parak this morning, and also opening up with the words ha'chakomet v'samincha. So that we know the difference between parak number 2 and parak number 3. Parak number 3, from this point going forward, is called a komets rabba, big komets. Okay, why is it called big komets as opposed to little komets? So in other words, it's a bigger parak, right? The second parak was, I think, 4 blado gemara, and over here, third parak, a lot more than 4. Okay, so so that's called komets rabba. Komets is a mincha. Lechol davashe in darko lechol v'laktir davashe in darko l'aktir kasher. So, if you, while doing the kamitza of a mincha, so now we're going back to kamitza, which means that you only have to have one thing in mind. You only have to do one thing, and that's the actual kamitza. There's no lavona involved. So kamitza is a mincha. And what's your machshava? Your machshava is to eat something which is consumed, or to burn something which is burned. Let me do the Mishnah again. Let me do it correctly. Lechol davar she'in darko lechol. So now the machshava is, I'm going to eat the komets. Or the machshava is, I'm going to burn the shirayim. So kasher. Kasher simply here means it's not pigel. It's not pigel, it's not pasul, meaning because your machshava is going on something that is not to be done. You're not supposed to eat the komets. You're not supposed to burn the shirayim on the mizbech. Now Rebbe Elazar posel, now Rebbe Elazar says it's disqualified. Does that mean that's pigel as well? Well, that's, stay tuned. That we're going to discuss tomorrow. Lechol davar shadarko lechol, lahakter davar shadarko lahakter, pachos mikazayis. Next case of the Mishnah. You have the right machshava, but just not the right amount. Kasher. Lechol kechati zayis, lahakter kechati zayis, kasher. If let's say half a kezayis of consumed part shirayim, a half a kezayis of burned part komets, so that's also kasher, she'ein achil v'aktar mitzdarfin, because that which is consumed and that which is burned do not combine to get to the full shear. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, my time of the Rebbe Elazar. What is behind the sheet of Rebbe Elazar? Amar Krav, Yimachol Yachol Mibasar Zevach Shlamav. Once again, we go back to Parshat Tzav. This is a source of the halacha. Pigel. Pigel is mentioned twice in the Torah. We did this extensively back in Zvachim. So this is the pasuk in Parshat Tzav. The other one is in Kedoshim. So here, Im Heyachol Yachol Mibasar Zevach Shlamav B'shtei Achilas Akos Medaber. Echad achilos adam ve'echad achilos mizbech. Lama l'cha kishem shemechashem ve'achilos adam kach mechashem ve'achilos mizbech. U'kishem shemechashem me'achilos adam le'achilos adam u'me'achilos mizbech le'achilos mizbech kach mechashem me'achilos adam le'mizbech u'me'achilos mizbech le'adam. What Rav Elazar generates from the he'achol ye'achol, the double language of eating, right? The Torah says, and if someone eats, it doesn't read well in English. If somebody eats. So halakhically, what he generates from this pasuk is the idea that consumption is flexible. In other words, if I'm now thinking about how I'm going to be eating the komets, I'm not allowed to eat the komets, but vis-a-vis machshavas pigel, it registers. If I think about how I'm going to be burning shirayim, you don't burn shirayim on the mizbeach, but again, vis-a-vis machshavas pigel, we have that kind of flexibility. So, and the chachamim, bottom of the amud. My taima, and the basis of this is mida afkin rachman laktar b'lashon achila. Since the Torah, when describing burning, uses the words achila, therefore it generates this idea that we have flexibility in terms of what is a machshava vis-a-vis pigel. V'rabanan, and the chachamim would argue, hay da afkina b'lashon rachman b'lashon achila. The loshna ki mechashav b'lashon achila lemizbeach, v'loshna ki mechashav b'lashon aktar lemizbeach. Inami ma achila bechazayis af aktar bechazayis. In other words, according to the Chachamim, there is flexibility, but not as much as what Rav Elazar is suggesting. Flexibility in that if I'm taking the komets, or again, this is all machshava, if I'm thinking about the komets and I say how I'm going to either burn the komets on the mizbeach, or if I use the word instead of the word burning, I use the word how I'm going to have the Mizbeach consume the Kometz, using the verb achila, that's where flexibility, that's where we have a certain amount of flexibility. But in other words, but if I'm thinking about how I'm eating the Kometz, me eating the Kometz, that does not register as a machshava. And also, inami, or alternatively, just like achila has to be kazai, so too, the haktara has to be kazai. But la'olam achila de'orcha mashma. But you have to have the right consumer in mind. So if it's the kamitza, you have to think about how the mizbech is consuming it. The language employed, the verb that's employed, flexibility. You could use either achila or haktara. But you have to have the right consumer in mind. Amount also, you have to have the right amount in mind. But in terms of who's eating what, that you have to get right according to the Chachamim. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up. Today we finished a long amount of Gemara, a good amount of Gemara, that really dealt with the outskirts of Pigel and some of the more unusual presentations of Pigel. And that brought us to the end of the perek. And we started the third perek this morning, more on the topic of Pigel, and a discussion, a debate amongst the Tanaim between the Chachamim and Rav Elazar in terms of a machshava Pigel has to go on a consumer, and how much does the Torah concerned about in terms of getting the right consumer.